is a great, what you do for your teenager the rest of your life, the great long-term approach. I'm going to be presenting these seven principles as a teenager talking to their parent. And the teenager will be speaking respectfully to the parent.
Amen.
Throughout the presentation. You know, I did this in Germany, and an 18-year-old named Michael came up to me after, and he said, "You know what, Phil? I wish that my parents was this for me when I was growing up." And they said, and then he said to me, "I still am going to hope that my parents become like this for me, even as I'm an adult." But seven keys to a teenager's heart. I'm going to jump right into it because I want you to like me because we're going to end early. Isn't that cool? And you get to go back and see your kids. Key number one is believe in me. Again, a teenager talking to his parent. Listen to God's view of me. Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Listen to God's plans for me. He promises thriving and flourishing plans for my life. He has no plans to harm me. He incessantly gives me hope. He gives me extreme security, not only present day, but for my future. And boy, am I insecure about my future. This is what God communicates to me. Dad and Mom, I need you to communicate belief in me. I have a low esteem and an identity crisis amidst other issues going on in my life. I'm trying to find my way. I can have a lot of uncertainty. Please provide stability for me. Please don't communicate in hurtful ways towards me. I'm editing as I go. That'll even cut off the time. Dad, Mom, please take an overall posture of believing in me. Be a visionary for me. I know at times I take one step forward and two steps backward, but that shows that I have an ability to go forward. I need that validated. I don't need all the specifics you give me on what I need to change. Rather, I need more specifics on what I'm doing well. Tell me that I'm going to amount to something significant, and please be specific. For example, son, I know you didn't run your best race today in cross country at the high school track event. I'm sorry that you're down about that. Let me tell you something I see in you. You don't quit. You kept pushing yourself to the end of the race. It's not only in track I see this in you. I see you persevere with schoolwork. I see you persevere with your friends, even when you're hurt by them. I see your faithfulness to God and your resolve to be strong, even when others put down your faith. You struggle, but you know what I see in you? You're not a quitter. You're not a quitter. Dad, Mom, don't flatter me by telling me something I don't represent. Yet there are good character traits that I have. Please find them and express them. One thing I need most when you express them is your sincerity. You believe and mean what you say. When you express belief, talk about what you see in me and my character traits that are strong. For example, perseverance. You see that I never quit. Please talk to me about that. Righteousness, willing to stand alone for God. If I'm a hard worker, or if I'm respectful towards adults, peers, special needs kids, or I make good judgment, making well thought out decisions, or if I'm responsible, please point this out to me. You finding my character strengths and expressing specifically how it manifests itself, that will live with me forever. Thomas Edison said, if people knew the fullness of their capabilities, they would literally be astounded. When I know you believe in me, beware. Someday I may astound you. Remember, Dad, remember, Mom, I am your heritage and reward from God. You know, I get teared up because I think of my kids. I mean, don't you just want to believe? Don't you want to be the visionary for them?
Amen.
Don't you just want to believe in them? But there are things that they have that are just unique or innate for them, and that it's in their character, it's who they are. Please bring it out in them. Please communicate that to them. Remember, Dad, remember, Mom, I'm your heritage and reward from God. Psalm 127, verse 3. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Believe in me, key number one. Does that ring true?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, understand me. And we went over this in part one, so I won't mention a whole lot of this. But Proverbs 20, verse 5, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws him out. Understanding me, empathizing with me, knowing the forces that operate within me will draw me out and help me develop spiritual and emotional health. Again, understand the stages, my body development, my brain development, my intellect, my search for love and acceptance. We all went over that in part one. But please understand me. My transition into adulthood. Dad, Mom, I'm growing up. I'm seeking my niche in life. I need some space. I don't want you around as much. Please don't take this personally. I still hold you in the highest respect. There's no one I respect more than you. I may not express it or want you around as much, but in my heart, you're number one. If you let me have friends over or a party in the house, please don't be part of the party. Sure, make the food and bring it to us, but please, after that, I say this respectfully, get lost in your own house somewhere. Also, please don't try to micromanage my life as you did when I was a child. Please don't try to force me to be who I do not want to be. Rather, accept me for who I am. These and other issues will cause conflict. Conflict is usually over me seeking my autonomy and you wanting to keep control. I'm trying to grow up and becoming a young adult. Growing up is a good thing. Unless you want me living with you when I'm 30. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be abandoned. From the book, Get Out of My Life, But First, Could You Drive Me and Cheryl to the Mall? The best title ever, right? Is that the best title ever? It says, it's hard enough being a teen without having to take full responsibility of your own welfare. They still need you. But understand the balance. I need guidance, direction, and influence. And, I talked about if you feel that they're harming yourself, you get involved. If they're harming themselves. But also, secondly, I still need direction, guidance, and influence on character issues like being responsible, personal righteousness, and good judgment. A quote from Gandhi. I regarded character building as the proper foundation for their children's education. And if the foundation was firmly laid, I was sure that the children could learn all the other things themselves or with the assistance of friends. And lastly, I need spiritual guidance, relevance. Help make Jesus relevant to my life, to me as a teenager, to my generation, to the culture I live in. Reason. Reason with me about Jesus. Help me make my own decisions where I discover faith for myself and own it as mine. Relationships. Only people I listen to are those who are willing to take time to understand me. And please, Mom and Dad, understand I need relationships. I need to relate with others my age. Please set me up with a solid youth ministry. It gives kids my age that completely relate with my struggles who are also struggling to find faith. It also helped me to find dates with those who have the same beliefs. I need space and I need guidance. I need a balanced approach to your parenting. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Ask God, he will give you the guidance in this matter. Believe in me and understand me. The third key to a child's heart, to a teenager's heart, is walk with me. Walk with me. Mark 1:17, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishes of men. Jesus got the most out of people by being with them and the people observing his lifestyle. What a beautiful passage, huh? Mm-hmm. From being with them, which we want to be with our children, and then the people were observing Jesus' lifestyle and our kids observing our lifestyle. And then back to a teenager talking. Mom and Dad, I'm at a very impressionable age. How Jesus manifests himself in your life will leave a lasting impression on me. Having the right attitude. I see and hear how your attitude towards the church and others are when you talk in the home. Please have a right attitude. I see it, and it will help me have the right attitude towards others. Having the right heart. I really would love to see you have a faith-filled and prayerful heart. Your personal faith affects your outlook on me, on the church, and on life. A faith-filled, joyful, thankful, persevering, and contented outlook on the present and the future is the greatest sermon I could ever see. My parents living their faith at home, inviting others in, sharing their faith with them. What a lifestyle that I can see. It's the best sermon that I could see. Thomas Edison said, I'm a big proportion, I feel like there are a lot here, is middle-aged, which I am, middle-aged men who have fresh and vibrant spiritual faith. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh and vibrant spiritual faith. And that's what your kids need to see in all of us, moms and the dads. You know, I love this attitude of Thomas Edison on his lab burning. He was 67 years old. Talking about a fresh, vibrant faith. His lab was burning. All his work is burning up. So what does he do? He says, kids, go get your mother. She'll never see another fire like this. Then he said afterward, it's never too late for a fresh start. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, that's who he was. Seeing the enthusiastic faith in your life speaks volumes to me about God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what teenagers are saying to you. And I need quantity time. And we already talked about that. I need quantity time. Dad, Mom, walk with me. I need your example and I need your time. In 1 Peter 2, verse 12, it says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see, the key word is here, is see your good deeds and glorify God in the day he visits you. The Greek word translated see refers to a careful watch over a period of time. The kids need you to walk with them as you walk with your God. The fourth key, we're doing all right. The fourth key is teach me the heart. Teach me the heart. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The pure in heart will see God. That's why we got to be careful about too many rules and regulations. Okay, I like to look at it as boundaries. Please don't nurture a mechanical heart in me. I need God's heart versus living strictly by rules. Rules such as do have a quiet time, don't go to this movie, do go to church, don't dress in that short skirt. When Christianity are rules and regulations, at times I can be doing it just to appease you. And then I can look for loopholes, what I can get away with. What's the rules on coming to church? Okay, I'll come and have an attitude. What's the rules on what movies I see? Okay, no rated R. Let me look for the most impure and immoral PG-13 movie I can find. What's the rules on dating? Okay, let's see how far I can go with the rules that are set up. And with the rules on dating, if I live by what I can get away with, then within time, even those rules will be broken. What's the rules on quiet times at home? Okay, I'll just go through the motions and go through the time. Again, what's this set up for me? A mechanical, miserable, sour, and lukewarm Christianity. What's the least I can do and most I can hide to keep my parents happy? It possibly sets up a very hard fall when I go to college. I have teenage friends that they say that they became a Christian 50% for my parents and 50% for themselves. And today, they're confused about their faith. Now, I do know that there are some rules, but the rules by themselves gives me zero motivation. I need the heart behind the matters. I don't just want to obey dad and mom and merely parrot your faith. If I'm going to love my Jesus and be a Christian, I want it to be on my volition, for my heart, and it be in my faith. Acts 13:22, God says, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. It doesn't say David was a man after Jesse's own heart, which was his father. It says David, son of Jesse. But Jesus says David was a man after my own heart. And he would do anything I wanted him to do. It was David's faith. And even Jesus says in John 15:31, Jesus says the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Out of his love for his Father was Jesus' motivation for his actions. Please guide me and nurture me and influence me to have my own personal walk with God. Here are some ideas. Present God and Jesus to me. Who is God and who is Jesus? Apologetics and evidences can help me. I love finding out for myself how big God is, how he created this great world and all about his creation. I love evidences. Please teach me that. Scientific evidences and historical facts can help me. This gives me my own faith. Help make Jesus personal, his sacrifice, his service, his personal love for me. How much he cares about, how much I need him, it helps me personalize it. Help make the Bible come alive, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active. Teach me the heart before commitments. Teach me the heart behind church. Teach me how much Jesus loves me before I have to die to myself for him. That helps me. Teach me the heart behind giving, why I can choose to give. Teach me the heart behind serving the poor and needy, the heart behind my personal walk with God, how Jesus protects me, how he's there, how he sets up these boundaries to protect me because he loves me, because he embraces me, because he wants a relationship with me. It's very important to teach the whys behind the things, like the purpose of church, the purpose of being at church, and things like that. Guide me to seek faith on my own. Ask me questions. Help me think logically. Tell me about your heart. Then give me space to ponder things and discover my own faith through my experiences in my life. True spiritual growth is faith that you own. Dad and mom, in the long run, won't I die to self more and live for Jesus in greater ways when it's purely my heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Key number 5. So let me see if I get this. It's believe in me, understand me, walk with me, teach me the heart. Fifthly is encourage me. Encourage me. Hebrews 3 verse 13, it says, encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. Dad, mom, I lack esteem. I lack faith. I lack courage at times, and I lack confidence. Even when I put up a bold front, do not be fooled by my outward appearance. The bold front is merely me hiding my lack of security and lack of stability I'm feeling. There are a lot of uncertainties in my life, and I can be bombarded with discouraging things in Satan's world. I deeply need and long for your encouragement. It directly affects my esteem. When encouragement is not present or given on an extremely limited basis, it gives way to my discouragement. Discouraged means being deprived of courage and confidence. Lack of confidence and courage comes naturally to me. I don't need others contributing to it. I am not talking again about flattery. Don't tell me I'm the greatest of the greats or compare me to other people. I'm not better than anyone else. I just need my improvements and my good efforts and my good conduct recognized by you and encouraged on a daily basis. If you say, why should I encourage you? It may make you think I don't have to work on these other things that need massive improvement. Boy, that's extremely discouraging. To put before me things I need to improve more often than encouraging words wears me down, tears me down, and can wear me out. It makes me want to give up. Or makes me want to rebel and not change to get you to give up on me. So, Mom, Dad, please be generous with encouragement. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. There are no limits on how many times you can encourage me. Mom, Dad, if you make sure the majority of times I leave your presence praised and feeling good about myself, it gives me a lot of courage to take on my teenage years. I leave your presence and you encourage me. You're emboldening me. You're giving me courage to live my teenage years. Believing in me is an overall outlook on who you believe I can become. Encouragement is a conscious daily action of finding little things I do well. For example, chores on time, homework done, when I show a compassion in a situation, when I take a stand for Jesus, you know, catch me in the act of doing things good on a daily basis. And encourage, Webster's Dictionary is to give courage, to give hope, to give confidence, to embolden, hearten, to give support. Listen to what Jonathan did for David when David was overwhelmed. 1 Samuel 23:16. And Saul's son David, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Wow. This gave David support. You give me encouragement and it supports me and it gives me strength. The bottom line is when you encourage me, I feel like I can confidently and courageously take on this world. I need daily encouragement. So here we go. Believe in me, understand me, walk with me, teach me the heart, encourage me. You start with these five. Just look at those five by themselves, and you've won my heart. It is unbelievable what those five will do just standing by themselves. And yet, I need more than this. But I want to make this note first. If these first five are not in place, it renders key number six ineffective. Yet if these five are in place, it makes number six one of the biggest keys. And that's expect of me. Let me tell you, those first five are in place, you'll be blown away that they will respond to expectations. They will respond of expectations that you have of them. Hebrews 12:11. It says, you doing all right? Should we take a little like shake? You doing okay? Okay. All right. Is it resonating?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay, good. All right. Just making sure. I'm going to take a sip of Diet Coke here. Okay. Now, for the microphone, this might wire me up a little, so it might not be good, but, you know, I feel like Diet Coke. I'm crazy. Does anyone know if the Red Sox won yesterday? I know you're from Atlanta and you probably could care less. It was 6-5 in the bottom of the ninth, and I was watching with Joe and it kept going. I think the bottom of the ninth was lasting a long time, so I'm hoping they won because they had men up, but I never got the score, so okay, it doesn't matter. You don't care either. But you know what? You do care, and you know what I also know, being from Boston, what you really care about? What is the Yankees lost. There you go, yeah. Whoa, Atlanta hates the Yankees too? Dude, does Atlanta hate the Yankees?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't know that. Is it hating the Yankees, is that like very natural?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the exception. Yeah, we've got wise guys in Boston too who like the Yankees. I can't believe it.
Oh, I can't believe it. 8 World Series losses in a row.
I know that rocks.
Yeah. 0-8 in their last games against the Yankees.
Oh, wow, really? Oh, now I know why you don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some little retribution when we were down 3-0 and won four games in a row. Oh, baby. I didn't watch any of them. I was too scared. I just went to bed. I said, oh, the Yankees are going to do it again. And my mother says, you're a chicken. Okay. It was good, though, that they won. That was a good. Fair weather Fran, I went to bed and I just got the score the next morning. I couldn't watch. I can't stand to watch. Did you ever see Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Okay, expect of me. Hebrews 12, verse 11. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace, for those who've been trained by it. Dad, Mom, did you notice I can make bad decisions, not take responsibility, and desire laziness? Proverbs 29:21 says, if a man pampers his servant from youth, he will bring grief in the end. I do not want to grow up and have no backbone. I need to be prepared for life and ready to take it on when I leave home. No matter my outward response, how much it hurts me, or how much it hurts you, I need you to expect of me. Here's a little history lesson. The word or label teenager did not come about until the 1950s. I'm not sure if you knew that. This is when it appeared in American dictionaries. It became popular in culture around the mid-50s. These are the baby boomers whose parents paid for their college. These kids got more given to them than what the past generation of kids got. And boy, do they get a lot today, huh?
Yeah.
Teenagers before the 50s were considered and treated as more young adults. Actually, in the Bible where it's written young man, it's more accurately translated as young adult. Dad, Mom, I do not need my childhood extended because it will, in the long term, hurt me. As you believe in me and understand me, walk with me, teach me the heart, I need you to expect from me. To expect me to be responsible, to follow through with my word. If I say I'll do something, expect me to follow through. My yes must be yes. If Dad and me agree with a curfew, then I'm back on time. If I make a commitment to be with my family on a Saturday day trip, I go and not come up with something with my friends at the last minute. That I follow through with my work, with schoolwork, sports activities, home responsibilities, college applications, though I dread them. I have responsibilities and my finger must be held to the fire. If I have too much, then please talk through what I can cut out, but I must be expected to do things well according to my abilities and talents. Do not do things for me that I can do for myself. I'll learn, I'll survive, and later in life, I'll likely thrive. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Expect me to work hard and persevere. I need a strong work ethic to be something in this world. What I decide to put my hands to, expect me to work at it and not to quit. If I play a sport, even if I don't like it, I said I wanted to play, expect me to persevere and finish the season. If I don't want to play at the end of the season, that's fine. But if I decide to do something, please make me go through with my word. We need to expect, please expect me to finish things, and so I'll end up being a strong finisher. How about following through with my commitment to Jesus? If I communicate that I desire a relationship with Jesus or make a commitment to Jesus in my baptism, then expect me to think through, study through, and act on what Jesus would do. Forgiveness. Forgiving kids in the church when they sin against me. Not getting bitter towards them, because that's what Jesus would do. And how to handle relationships and being forgiving towards people who hurt me. I will be disappointed and hurt my whole life in relationships. Teach me how to handle it right, please. So I can have healthy relationships as I grow up. Righteousness, expect me to stand alone. Most teens get in trouble or are unrighteous because they're following the crowd. When I follow the crowd, please point it out and expect me to stand alone and do the right thing. Even my church friends can gossip, go to sketchy movies. Expect me to live to please God and not man. The mission, to actively pursue helping others be Christians in worship, seeking my God in all of life, in all the circumstances, in all my experiences, that I'm seeking God and desiring to do His will and not my wants. Please expect from me. Oh, wow. Oh, very good. I'll give this insight, and then actually I'm going to get to the last one. A note on discipline. This is an idea that I liked. It resonated with me, if it works for you. But one way to discipline your teen that I believe could be effective. This is from Understanding Your Teenager. To give logical consequences to them when you have agreed on something versus punishment. By you, or probably more effective, between you and the team, working out what the consequences will be beforehand. In other words, one example that if he brought home poor grades from school, you set up beforehand anything below their talent level for grades that video games are taken away for the semester. But you set it up beforehand. You said, here are the grades, we believe that by your talent, yeah, I agree, Dad, I can get those grades, blah, blah, blah. So he goes, he doesn't do what he said he was about to do, and they'll say, okay, what should be the consequences if you don't? Okay, how about, do you agree? How about we take away video games for the year? Dad, how about the semester? Okay, that's a good compromise. The semester, that's good. So you both agreed on it. He comes home with the poor grades, and the consequences are already set in place, and he agreed to it. That will tend to have less conflict because you agreed on it beforehand. He feels respected because you worked it out with him. It's less like punishment and more like a consequence. It's reasonable because he agreed to it. You now can expect him to do schoolwork in place of the time spent with the video games. But bottom line, Dad, Mom, I need you to expect from me. I'm more likely to live up or down to your expectations. Treat me as a child I'll be. Treat me as a young adult, and a mature teenager I'll be. In the long run, I'd rather be a mature teenager. With all six of these keys going strong, as an adult, I am very likely to be very mature, responsible, and hardworking, a giver in life and not a drainer. And my last key, number 7, is never give up on me. Matthew 18, verse 10 to 14, and Scripture talks about not looking down on one of these little ones, and goes on and says to leave the 99 to look for the one that wandered off. I will say basically on key number 7, some sins and weaknesses are harder to change than others. I'll have my storms. Some will be tornadoes. They may even last for a few years, but please don't ever give up on me. Guess when I need you most? When I'm going through the hardest of times.
Right.
That's when I need you connected. Ride out my storms with me. Again, you may be disappointed, disapproved because of my behavior. You may be discovered, but please never give up on me. My behavior may signal that I've given up on myself. When you never give up on me, it communicates to me in the loudest of ways, unconditional love. When you treat me as Jesus treats people, you most likely will win my heart. You don't ever give up on me when I'm a adult. It's highly likely you'll end up proud of me as who I become when I'm an adult. So in conclusion, I believe this is a long-term way. I believe it's how God treats us. I really do. And I believe this is a great, and again, this is very fast going through 7 keys after we heard 3 other parts. But listen to this closely. See if it resonates in the long run. Again, it doesn't matter what's going on in the short term. It doesn't matter if there's turmoil in the house right now. And if your family's going well, this is still a great practice. Believe in your kids. Understand them. Understand the forces that operate within. Walk with them. Oh gosh, walk with them. Teach them the heart. Teach them the motivation. Teach them the love of Christ. Teach them to be motivated by grace. Oh, wow. Encourage them on a daily basis. Expect from them and never, never give up on them. A man in Los Angelus wrote me, he said, Phil, I needed a fresh start. I sat and listened to these seven keys, and it was like a bell going off in my head. And he wrote, ding. That sounds weird. Ding, that's what he wrote. Ding, so I'm not. But he says, this is how I go about it. This is how I go about getting a fresh start. I'd like for you to pray for this lesson, pray through these qualities, and put them into practice, and let God do the rest. And I'm telling you, I believe when you're both adults, you're going to have a phenomenal relationship with your child. And I'll end with my favorite quote. You don't raise heroes, you raise sons and daughters. And if you treat them like sons and daughters, they'll turn out to be heroes, even if it's in your own eyes. So, thank you. That's it. We're done. Now, I want this to get to other preachers now. We're supposed to end at 3:30. 15 minutes early. 50, not 15. 50. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, thanks so, so much.
You're welcome.
And I don't know about you, but I feel like that I've been given an awful lot. And hope we can really think about and decide on things that we want to do differently and make a difference with our children. And hope we can spend some good time with our children this afternoon, this evening. So let's just go ahead and close out with a prayer. Father, we thank you so much for bringing Phil all the way down here from Boston. And we thank you for each family represented here in the room. And we pray for each child that's represented here in the room, that they can be loved and respected and raised up to do great things in life and most of all to love you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And help us to help each other as a family to be the best we can in raising our children. We love you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.